Matthew, if you have your Bibles, book of Matthew, the 15th chapter. That's where we'll read from. Matthew chapter 15. Praise the Lord. Let's begin with verse 21. Matthew chapter 15, verse 21. Bible said, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coast of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Praise God. I like the commendation that the woman got from Christ in verse 28. He commended her by saying these words, "O woman, great is thy faith." Then he granted her petition. "Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." The Bible told the rest of the story, and her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I couldn't get past what he said. "O woman, great is thy faith. Great is thy faith." Well, I'd like for him to look over the balcony of glory and see me struggling along and doing what I can and living for him. And I'd like to hear from his lips whispering to my heart, "Great is thy faith." Come on now. Huh? "Great is thy faith." What a commendation. Now, I want to talk to us about this particular thought. Let's talk about faith that overcomes every obstacle. Faith that overcomes every obstacle. Would you lift your hands and pray and ask the Holy Ghost to help us? Lord, we love you. Divine way. Thank you, Jesus, for your good mercy. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done for us. Where you've helped us. Father, where you've touched us. Where you've ministered life to us. Where you've helped us here tonight. Oh, God, save the Lord. Let there be faith in my eyes up when you start to bust the temptation. May you be able to do all this tonight. I need to pray. And I think it'll be better. You know what he said to Jesus. Jesus' name. Amen. Church said amen. Amen. You can be seated if you'd like. How about turn around smiling at somebody? Shake your hand. Smile at them real big or give them $20, one or the other. Hallelujah. A lot of smiling going on here tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. I wrote this down and God began to deal with me about this so that I wouldn't ever forget it. I read where one man said the greatness of faith can often be measured by the obstacles that it overcomes. I'd like to say that again. The greatness of faith. That's what Christ said the woman had. "O woman, great is thy faith." That man said the greatness of faith can often be measured by the obstacles that it overcomes. Evidently, this is what Jesus Christ had in mind when he spoke of faith like a grain of mustard seed. At least two times in the Bible, once in the book of Matthew chapter 17 and again in the book of Luke chapter 17, he spoke of what we refer to as mustard seed faith. In the book of Matthew chapter 17 and verse 20, he said, "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and it shall be done." Amen. Then again in Luke chapter 17 and verse 6, he said, "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall pluck up the sycamine tree." Amen. These two great, almost immovable objects, Christ said, with faith, they're no problem. Amen. When I got to studying that and I got to looking at that, and years ago even, I preached a little bit about the mustard seed faith, and the next night a lady in the church came and she had went and got a bunch of mustard seeds and began to hand them out to people in the church. Just little tiny, I don't know if you've ever seen one or not, but not much bigger than just a grain of sand. Just a tiny, tiny little seed. Amen. And I got to thinking, you know, the mustard plant, when it's grown, it's nothing extraordinarily beautiful to look upon. It's not like the lily that blooms in the valley. It's not like the rose that blooms on the plains of Sharon. Amen. Nothing extraordinarily beautiful to look upon. But Christ teaches us the most amazing thing about the mustard plant is the mustard seed, or its meager beginnings. It's small, so it must strive. It must struggle. It must persevere. It must fight, amen, in order to push its way up out of the earth toward the shining of the sun and become what God wants it to be. Amen. Did you know our faith is the same way? And one of the most beautiful portions of the Bible teaches us that God has given every man a measure of faith. If you're here tonight and you're a saint, you have a measure of faith. If you're here tonight and you're not even a Christian, guess what the Bible said? You too have a measure of faith. Every man, woman on planet earth has been granted or given that measure of faith by God. When I looked at this Syrophoenician woman in our scripture text, I began to think about her great faith, but I immediately began to see the opposition that it overcame, the obstacles that were meant, it looked as if they were meant to be stumbling stones, but she turned them into stepping stones to make her way to Christ and to get her petition met. I consider the great obstacles and the great opposition that she faced that day when she made her way to Jesus Christ. I begin to understand why he commended her for her great faith. There was a great faith that was birthed on the inside of her. And through that day trying to get her way to Jesus, not only was that faith birthed, but it was nurtured. It was cared for. It was held on to until by the time she got to where Christ was. Amen. It was devil chasing faith. It was daughter delivering faith. Hallelujah. Amen. But there had to be some obstacles to stretch it, to exercise it, and to make it grow. Hallelujah. Let's consider all that was against her when she made her way to Christ that day. Matthew in our text says simply, she was a woman of Canaan. The writer Mark in his gospel tells the same story. He called her a Syrophoenician woman. You know what this means? This simply means that she belonged to the native people that inhabited the land of Canaan before God gave it to the Jews. Amen. The Jews, centuries before, had been given the land of Canaan as a promise to Abraham, and they took over that land and they drove many of those Canaanite people out. As a matter of fact, God told Israel in the Old Testament to exterminate
exterminate these different races out of the land. When Joshua led the children of Israel across the Jordan River over into Canaan, it was war to the death with these different tribes of people. This woman, no doubt, was raised to hate the Jew. Amen. Bitterness and envy for them was bred in her heart from the time she was just a little girl. The Jews were her arch enemies. Come on now. Imagine how she would have been talked about by her family. Imagine how she would have been looked down upon by her neighbors if they would have saw her on her knees at the feet of a Jewish Jesus asking him for anything. Amen. That was a great obstacle that stood before her that day. This woman of Canaan, this Syrophoenician woman. I'm going to preach to you the first obstacle that she had to overcome in order to get to Jesus is the first obstacle you're going to have to overcome if you're going to get to Jesus. Amen. She, very simply put, was born in the wrong place. Amen. She had to overcome the obstacle of being born in the wrong place. Her birth was against her. You read the Bible, you study the Word of God. Even when Christ came, amen, the Bible said he came unto his own. Amen. Jesus himself spoke in our scripture text. Amen. He said it's not meat. That means good. It's not good. It's not acceptable to take the children's meat or the Jews' good things and give it unto the dogs. Come on and help me here, church. I'm telling you, she was born a Canaanite. She was not born a Jew. She was not under the covenant promises of God. Amen. She was a Gentile. Amen. She had no chance up until this point. She was an outsider looking in. Come on, say amen. Born in the wrong place. If her family would have caught her worshiping Jesus, she would have been considered a traitor to her gods, a traitor to her people. She was not raised to worship God, Jehovah. She was raised to worship idols. Come on now. Amen. But listen, there was a problem. There was a dilemma. There was a calamity in her life. Demons had infested the soul of her daughter. Amen. No doubt trying to kill her. Trying to drag her soul to hell. Amen. No doubt she had tried everything that her empty religion had promised her to get her daughter free. But she had heard about this Jew named Jesus. Somebody said he's been spotted walking on the water. Somebody said he fed the 5,000 with just a couple of fish and a few loaves of bread. Somebody said he's opened a blinded eye. And he's unstopped the deaf ear. Somebody said he has authority over demons and devils. And she started on her journey to make her way to Jesus. Oh, lift your hands and praise him right here, will you? I've already just briefly in the opening remarks told you a little bit about my pedigree. Amen. There's some strange characters hanging around in my family tree. And before you get to laughing too hard at me, just take a good long look at that pedigree of yours. Come on, say amen. Take a good long look at that pedigree of yours. Come on, say amen. We've all been brought to this place on purpose by the grace of God. God loves everybody in this building. But the first thing some of you is going to have to do in order to make your break with who you've been, well, in order to make your break with what you've been, amen, you got to make up your mind. No matter how I was raised, no matter what I've been taught, I've got to get to Jesus. I've got to get to where Christ is. I was in Lake Wales, Florida back in the early 90s preaching in a church of God there in Lake Wales. And Sister Teague and I met a young woman there. Her name was Patience. And
You got to be so careful what you say anymore. They put everything on the internet. And so I don't want to say too much. But I'll tell you this. She wasn't ashamed to tell us. Sister Patience was a wholeness girl. Sister Teague and I was just in our late 20s, and Sister Patience was probably in her early 20s. And she told us the story, testified right out in church how God found her, where she was when God found her, and how what kind of a person she was when God delivered her from sin and saved her to the uttermost. Sister Patience wasn't raised in church, but you could have never told it. She was a good Holy Ghost girl. You understand what I'm saying? She was one of the Sunday school teachers for the little children. She sang specials. She's a very important part of that local church in Lake Wales. And I was shocked when the Spirit of God come on her one night in revival. And she stood up weeping. There was people there that did not know Jesus. And she said, I feel led to share just a little bit of my testimony. She said, please don't think any less of me. She said, when Jesus found me, I was standing on a street corner, hooked on crack cocaine, selling my body to support my habit. Come on now. Amen. If you saw her, if you looked at her, you would have never dreamed, you'd have never imagined that she ever lived that lifestyle. Amen. Somebody had presence of mind enough and the burden of the Lord in their heart enough. They stopped by that street corner. Amen. Instead of pulling out $100 bill, they pulled out a Bible and they got to talking to her about Jesus. Praise God. She gave her life to Christ and she's never been the same. You don't have to be raised in church to be a part of church. You don't have to know all there is to know about this in order to reap the benefits of this. You can come on, be a part of the family, but you got to want to. I said you got to want to.
Hallelujah.
That happened many years ago. Just a couple of years ago, a few years ago, Brother Morris knows Pentecostal Fire Baptized Holiness Church in Nicholson, Georgia. Brother Marty Smith is currently the pastor there. He's been there for many years. And I've preached a lot of revivals there since he came. And just a couple of years ago, there was a man that showed up in his Sunday morning service that made most everybody there a little uncomfortable. His name is Willie. And Willie showed up with a plaited ponytail down to his belt loops. He had his beard twisted up and plaited, and it was down to his belt buckle. Come on, say amen. He was a rough character. He come in a black leather vest with motorcycle patches sewed all over it. Come on now. He pulled up in the parking lot in a raggedy old beat up car. Amen. Had the lewd, ungodly bumper stickers with big old cuss words plastered all over it. Come on here now. But there he is in a little small town in Georgia. Amen. At a wholeness church. Amen. Looking for something to fulfill his life.
Brother
Morris will know right who I'm talking about. I'll just tell you who he is. He wouldn't mind me telling you. Brother Cotton is one of the long-time members of that church. And Brother Cotton always sits on the front row. And after all of this happened later, Brother Cotton testified to me personally. He said, Brother Teague, I can't even tell you how many years I'd come sit on that front row all by myself. He said, I'd pray all the time, Lord, would you please send me somebody to sit on this front row with me? And in come Willie. He didn't sit on the back row. He marched his bushy self right on up to the front row. Come on now. And he sat down right beside Brother Cotton.
Brother Cotton said he looked over at him and just thought in his mind, Lord, are you sure this is who you want up here?
Oh God. You sure this is the one? Come to find out, Willie was a meth cooker.
for the outlaw motorcycle club or motorcycle gang. He's having to drag an oxygen tank behind him from all them years of inhaling those chemicals and them dangerous poisons from cooking that meth. They made big money selling that dope on the street. Now Willie's wanting out. Amen. He's left empty. His life is unfulfilled. Amen. He knows he's on his way to hell. You know what he later testified? He said, I went to every church in this little town. The Baptists have a great old big church, and the Methodists have a church, and there's some other church or two around. He said, I couldn't feel anything. Nothing that was said there, nothing that happened there could touch my heart. He said, but as soon as I walked through the doors of this little homeless church, I started feeling God working on the inside of me. Huh? Oh, God.
You know the story, don't you? Amen. That first Sunday Willie was there, Brother Smith preached on salvation, and guess what happened? The Lord showed up. Amen. Strengthened Willie's faith to the place he could believe him to be saved. He stepped off of that front bench and he knelt down in the altar and he gave his life to Christ. Come on now. Huh? Oh, you wouldn't recognize Brother Willie if you went by there now. Come on here. He don't look like an ex-member of the outlaw motorcycle gang anymore. Come on. He's still dragging that old oxygen tank. Let me tell you what happened the last time I was there. Amen. The pastor got up and he said, does anybody have anything to sing? Anybody got a song on their heart?
Come on.
It's about as quiet as it is right now. Nobody's moving. All them folks been in wholeness, most of them, all their life. The old Brother Willie stood up with his oxygen line running to his nose. He said, pastor, I got one I'd like to sing. He drug that oxygen tank up to the piano. Amen. Now, I've heard him do it two or three times through the years. He sings the same old song every time he gets up. But I hadn't heard him sing it yet that something didn't swell up on the inside of me. Amen. I hadn't heard him sing it yet that folks in the congregation wasn't wiping tears. You know what he sings every time he gets up? Amen. He sings Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Oh, listen, it doesn't matter where you was born. It doesn't matter what kind of family you was birthed into. It doesn't matter what kind of God you've been worshiping out there in this world. If you want to come to Jesus, you can come to where he is. If you want to get to him, amen, overcome the obstacle of being born in the wrong place. I get so tired of talking to folks who say, well, if I was just born rich, or if I was just born white, or if I was just born black, if I was just born on the other side of town, if I was just born in a different city, if I would have just been born in a different family, come on and help me here, church. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what your last name is. It doesn't matter what texture your hair is. Doesn't matter what color your skin is. Doesn't matter what language you speak. Hey, if you want to find Christ, you can come to him because he's here in this service tonight. Amen. You come here on purpose. You come here for a reason. Like Brother Willie, there's an emptiness on the inside of you. That's why you're here. I'm telling you, you can get to him. I said you can get to him. Praise God. Oh, lift your hands right here and bless the Lord. Somebody lift your hands and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm preaching about faith that overcomes every obstacle. I want you to consider with me, not only was she born in the wrong place, but her knowledge of who he was really against her. Her birth was against her, but her knowledge of him was against her as well. Remember, she had been raised to worship idols. She was a heathen woman living among heathen people. Maybe she had heard of Jehovah,
the God of the Jews, but probably always in contempt. God was probably always in a negative light when her family was talking about him. That's the way it was with my family. All them preachers are crooks. All they after is money. Them churches are all hypocrites. Hey, I'd rather go to church with a hypocrite than to go to hell with them, wouldn't you? Amen. Listen, Jesus told us, I don't want to get sidetracked here, but he said, let the wheat and the tares grow up together. And when he comes, he's going to separate them. You go to Walmart with hypocrites every week. You bank with hypocrites. You work with hypocrites every day. Come on, say amen. Don't you let a hypocrite at church send your soul in the wrong direction. Come on, say amen. There's always going to be a few of them around, don't matter where you go. Ain't that right? Amen. Oh God, her knowledge of him was against her. She was not familiar with God's word. She never had sang through the Psalms with the sweet psalmist of Israel, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." She didn't have any idea about those things. She never read Isaiah chapter 53 about a Messiah who was wounded for our transgressions. Amen. Chastised. Amen. For us. Come on now. Bruised for our iniquities. She didn't know anything about that. All she knew of Jesus was hearsay. Now I'll tell you, you go home and you study this, you'll find the same thing I found. Up until this point in the history of Christ being on planet Earth, there was not one other Canaanite woman, not one other Canaanite man, not one other Canaanite family alive that could testify to her. He can help you because he helped me. If you can get to him, he can fix it because he fixed it for me. You know why? She would be the first Canaanite in the history of the world to receive a miracle from Jesus Christ. Come on, say amen. She would be, listen, when Lazarus was sick, he had two sisters named Mary and Martha. They called for Jesus in faith, knowing that if Jesus could get to where he was, he could heal him of his sickness. And you know the story, a lot of you do. Jesus got there and even raised him from the dead after he'd been dead for 4 days. Their faith was grounded in their knowledge of who he was. They'd saw him work miracles before. They'd ate with him. He had ate at their supper table. He'd spent evenings in their home, a teaching and a talking. But this woman had no such previous experience with Jesus Christ. Is it any wonder he said, "Great is thy faith." Praise God. Great is thy faith. I'll tell you about me. When I got saved at 23, my life was a wreck. My wife was about to leave me. She just had our first son. I was still trying to live like a single man, do what I wanted to do and run with my friends, act stupid. And she is ready to grow up. And just before she left, I went to church with her. And the Lord marvelously, wondrously saved me. Amen. Let me tell you about my trip to that altar that night. I had no idea how to pray. I never had any idea of how to approach God. I had an experience with Christ in a Baptist church when I was about 15 years old. And I felt my heart swell up and I felt the love of God come on me. And I went to the altar and I prayed a while. But I got up and I went back out into the world and I kept right on living just like I always had. That's the only experience really that I'd ever had with the Lord. And I didn't pray really when I went to the altar. I just repeated whatever they told me to say. But now at 23, I'm a full-grown man. Or at least I thought I was. Hallelujah. Come on now. And I went to that altar and I didn't know how to pray. Somewhere along the line, I picked up a little knowledge of spiritual things. I mean, I knew two prayers completely through. I knew God is great, God is good. Let us thank him for our food. By his hands we all are fed. Give us, Lord, our daily bread. Come on now. I knew now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I should die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. God bless mama and daddy and brother. Come on now. Many people know those prayers that have very little church experience whatsoever. And as a grown man, that's all the praying I knew how to do. But I knew sitting back there when that preacher started giving his altar call, the Holy Ghost sat down on me. Amen. My heart got to thumping. My hands got to sweating. I knew I was going to hell. And Jesus was my only way of escape.
And I got up and I wondered in my heart. It's just me thinking. I've wondered in my heart sometimes if I was saved before my knees ever hit the floor and the altar. And I tell you what I did. I knelt down in that altar with a sincere heart. Big tears rolling down my face. And I didn't know how to pray. I was asking God to save me. Asking him to come into my life. You got to understand the background that I had, the family that I was from. I'd done tried Narcotics Anonymous. They didn't have the power to set me free. They told me, once you this way, buddy, you stuck with it. Once an addict, always an addict. You'll never get free. You just have to learn to control it and live with it. Come on now. I tried Alcoholics Anonymous. They told me the same thing. Once an alcoholic, always an alcoholic. Come on now. I laid on the psychiatrist's couch. He didn't offer me any hope. Come on and help me. And now here I am with my knees in an altar in a little church of God. Amen. My heart strangely warmed, one man said. Amen. I'm feeling the love of God. And I don't even know how to pray.
Now in them days, them little old women, every little old lady in that church gathered up around me when I went to that altar to pray. And most of the brothers came. And I'm struggling. I'm trying to pray. I'm weeping. I'm feeling like I want to be saved. My life has to have a change. And I heard somebody, like a voice in the distance. It was somebody right there praying with me. Somebody eased up to my ear. You know what they said? They said, tell him how low down and rotten you've been. So, brother, I got to naming it off. Huh? God, this is what I've done. I need you to forgive me. I believe you just got to checking them off, brother. Come on, say amen. God, I've been this. I've done that. I've done this. Lord, I need you to say, I've been a bad person. I've hated you. I've despised. You know what I called you, folks? Sister T got saved 4 months before I did. Amen. The preacher'd pull up in the yard. I'd shut the door and lock it. I'd close the blinds and I'd dare her to open the door. Come on. Don't you let them psalm singers in here. I don't want them tambourine whackers in here. Come on now. Are you going to help me? I don't want nothing to do with them holy rollers. Come on now. Amen. And now, in front of all of them, I'm telling Jesus how low down and rotten I've been. Come on now. Hey, don't look now, but I'm a psalm singer. I'm a tambourine whacker. I've been known to do some holy rolling. He changed everything. He changed it. Somebody lift your hand and love on him. Woo! He changed it all. Amen. I didn't know nothing about God. I could not quote John 3:16. I didn't know Isaiah from Moses. Listen, maybe as a kid I'd heard the story of Noah, but I didn't really know anything about it. I didn't know anything at all about the Bible, nothing at all. But you know what? None of that mattered to him. I've been around folks, and I've preached in a few meetings around, and I get around these families who have such a rich godly heritage. I mean, their great-grandpa was a holiness camp meeting preacher. Their grandpa built churches across the country. Their daddy was the camp meeting speaker. Come on now. All their uncles preach. In days gone by, I've got around them folks and felt so inadequate and so intimidated. Huh? After a while, you know, the devil got to riding on me, asking me, who you think you are? Who are you? Who are you? Come on here. And the Lord got to opening doors. And I'm standing up in front of some of them, trying to preach a gospel to them. And that devil ride my back. Who are you? Who do you think you are? You come from all them drunks and ain't nobody. And you've been saved all these years and ain't nobody in your family even saved yet. Come on, say amen. And I heard that and heard that and heard that. And one day I found myself knelt down in my prayer closet. And that devil, listen, he'll come right in your prayer closet with you if you'll let him. He said, who are you? I said, I'm glad you asked me. I've been wanting to tell you, I'm a child of the Most High God. I'm washed in the blood, sanctified holy, full of the Holy Ghost and fire. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Hallelujah. I'll tell you something. Maybe you're here tonight. Your grandpa's not a preacher. I'll tell you something. I've told that story about my grandpa Tig, him killing his friend. He served 7 years in the penitentiary up in the mountains in North Carolina. That's back in the days they had the chain gang. They'd chain them all together and put them on the road to work. My grandpa spent 7 years out of the way. My grandma Teague's daddy, she was a Watson. He was a doctor in Sparta, North Carolina. He spent everything he had. He ended up selling his entire estate, big farm, big house. He sold everything to get my grandpa out of prison. Now, I've told that. There's been times I've even told it weeping. But let me tell you something, that ain't where it ends. 6 months ago, the 13th of January, made 6 months ago, my first little granddaughter made her grand entrance into this world. And I have declared for years before she ever got here that one of these days she ain't gonna know nothing about Grandpa Tig making moonshine. She ain't gonna know nothing about Grandpa Tig being locked up in jail. One of these days she gonna stand up in a holiness meeting somewhere, amen, with hot tears of joy and thanksgiving running down her. Oh, I feel the Holy Ghost running down her face. You know what she's gonna stand up and say? She's gonna say, I thank God my Grandpa Tig's a holiness preacher. That's all I've ever known. He's full of the Holy Ghost. He's the man of God. Come on and say amen. I'm telling you, you can get saved and you can stay saved. It doesn't matter what you know or what you don't know. If you want Jesus, amen, you can have Jesus. Oh God, hallelujah. Her knowledge of him was against her. She was born in the wrong place. Amen, but I'm preaching about faith that overcomes every obstacle. She finally gets over them too. She's making her way to where he is. And if I can say it this way, she finally gets to church where he is surrounded by the very ones who claim to love him most. They've heard his teaching. They've tried to apply it to their life. They've slept beside of him, ate at the same table with him, sailed on the same sea and on the same lakes. She finally gets there. And just within earshot, she hears them disciples, send her away, for she crieth after us. It appears to me as if the disciples themselves were against her. Don't everybody say amen at once. I'm trying to preach here. It looks as if the disciples, the inner circle, what would become the nucleus of the New Testament church, while she's crying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, they're saying, she's embarrassing us. Send her away. We don't need her kind around here. Come on, say amen. I'm just going to throw this in here and I'll go on. And this, I'm going to meddle right here. I'm just going to put this disclaimer on it. Let me meddle a little bit and then I'll preach, all right? I've seen them make wide circles around folks when they come to our churches They don't want to shake their hand. They don't want to hug their neck. They're not dressed like us. They don't smell like us. They don't look like us. I'll tell you this, and it's all I'm going to tell you about me. The night I got saved, I'd been on the bar stool all day. I know. I brushed my teeth with Colgate. I gargled with Scope. You hear me? But I know I probably still had the smell of whiskey on my breath when I showed up at that little church at night. But you know what them brothers did? They made me feel like the special guest of honor. They hugged me up and loved on me and told me how welcome I was. They sure was glad to see me. It looked like they'd been waiting on me all week long. Didn't matter how I was dressed, what I looked like. Didn't matter my hair was way down on my shoulders past my collar. Come on, say amen. None of that mattered. All it mattered was I was finally there. And they sure acted glad to see me. Shame on you. If you're so holy, you can't shake somebody's hand. Shame. Listen, that ain't holy at all. Amen. That's heady. That's high-minded. That's pharisaical. Come on, say amen. If you're not happy about folks showing up at the house of God, amen, then I don't know what'll ever make you happy. Come on, say amen. This is a spiritual hospital. Hey, those decide. I don't know why they said it. Maybe they desired a little rest. They're on their journey northward. Maybe they remembered the fishes and the loaves and having to work to take up the 12 baskets of fragments and take care of the people. Maybe they remembered other miracles that Christ worked and it put them to work. Amen. Crowd control. Come on, say amen. I don't know. Maybe they were just wanting a little rest. Maybe she was disturbing their peace. Crying out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. We'll talk about this at length in just a few moments. She was actually praying an exclusive Jewish prayer. She wasn't praying a Gentile prayer. She was praying what she had heard Jews say. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Maybe because she was dressed like a Canaanite and looked like a Canaanite. It was obvious she was a Canaanite. They had never seen him help or heal, amen, or deliver another Canaanite. They said, send her away. I don't know their reasoning, but I do know they was wrong, wrong, wrong. Come on now. They was wrong to send her away. Come on, say amen to me right here. Send her away. Amen. Oh, God. I imagined in my heart, Brother Daniel Woods, how it must have been. Amen. In her heart, if she was indeed within earshot of those disciples. I've overcome the obstacle of being born in the wrong place. I've overcome the obstacle of not really knowing very much at all about him. And I finally made my way to where he is. And those that surround him act like they don't want me to come in. Oh, God. You don't have a right to call yourself holy. You don't have a right to call yourself a holiness church. You don't have to listen. You better take Pentecostal off the sign. Amen. If this ain't a spiritual hospital, if this ain't for the whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life freely. I have told this story. I'm going to tell it again here. I have told this story. I'll just go ahead and tell you. I was in Mississippi, way down in the middle of nowhere. I was preaching in a little holiness church. I had about 10 people. And this is not a slur. I don't mean this derogatory. Let's just explain what kind of people I was preaching among. They all dressed alike. They all wore their hair alike. They all looked alike. They all shouted alike. Well, I believe they all talked in tongues alike. Just that little 10. Huh? I was there in revival, way down a red clay dirt road in the pine trees. It's a wonder they had running water. Huh? I'm talking about in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, come on. There they invited me to come preach revival to them. I drug my little family all the way down there. We're preaching revival. I didn't find out till the night after it actually happened. There was a man, an older gentleman, that would stand on the front porch of the church every night that I showed up with my family. He was always on the front porch of the church. And when we'd unload, there he'd have a big smile on his face, always a good firm handshake, hug my neck, just act like he's glad to see me. Later I found out he was the deacon of the church. I ain't against deacons, long as they stick to doing the deacon. Huh? Deacons in the New Testament, if I read the Bible right, waited tables, took care of widows and orphans. They didn't pick out pastors. They didn't set doctrine in the church. Many of them went on to preach the gospel. But while they was a deacon, they had a specific role to play. To take care of the folks that needed ministering to in the church. Well, I found out the night after it happened, here she come the night before. A woman from town with a whole carload of little children. And she was from the wrong side of the tracks. You understand what I mean? I found out that the majority, the general consensus in that little town was probably all of them youngins had a different dad. She was that kind of woman. She done walked down the aisle two or three or four times. Huh? There she was with all of those children. And she showed up in the middle of nowhere at a Holy Ghost revival. And she made it all the way to the front porch of the church. That old happy deacon that was always acting so glad to see me, he didn't act so happy about her showing up. Matter of fact, the pastor told me the next day that deacon stopped her and all them children on the front porch. And he said, put them children back in your car and go back to wherever it was you came from, because our church don't want your kind here. I tell you, I hope I've gained some wisdom, Brother Morris. You can help me. You've known me a long time. You knew me when I was a lot younger. I hope I've gained some wisdom through the years. I was real young then. And I'll just be honest. I've asked God to forgive me. I don't mean this to be funny. You know, I'm not saying this just to make a little joke. But I probably preached the rest of that meeting anointed by the spirit of Curtis Tigg. I pushed that deacon out over hell. I swung him out over hell every night. The rest of that meeting. Come on, say amen. You know what I preached to him? If there's no hope for them, there's no hope for us. Come on, say amen. I knew who I was preaching to. I said to that deacon in my preaching, if you didn't believe she had any hope, what about all them children that you just sent back out into the darkness? Come on, say amen. Hey, I believe, amen, if they can come with a tangled up life, their lives all knotted up in sin, if we can get them to Jesus, listen, I'm not smart enough to untangle it. I'm not smart enough to straighten it out. But he has the answer. I said he has the answer. I preached two or three nights anointed by Curtis Tigg. I got to digging in the Bible. I put me some buckshot in my shotgun. I loaded up with the Word of God. I swung that deacon out over hell, and I got to hollering from the book of the Revelation. I hollered, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. I said, mister, if you're a part of the bride, you're never saying leave. You're never saying go. Your invitation is always come. Woo. Well, some of you like that about as much as he did, I can tell. Come on now. You better get used to the idea. You know what's going to happen after a while right here? Homosexuals are going to show up sick of that abominable lifestyle, and they're going to be needing power and hope and help. Come on, say amen. Drunks, drug addicts, adulterers, fornicators, liars and thieves, they're about to walk through that door. Amen. They're going to need somebody. Amen. That's long-suffering. Somebody's got the love of God. Somebody that's full of the real Holy Ghost. Can you believe the disciples were against her? Oh God. These very disciples acted in much the same manner in the book of Mark chapter 10. There was women that brought little children to Christ, desiring that he should touch them. They formed a body blockade. They became his Secret Service security team. They roped herself around him and said, "Get back, get back! Get them children out of here. Don't you know who he is? He walks on water, ma'am. He feeds multitudes with just scraps. He casts out devils. He opens blinded eyes. Get them youngins away from him. He don't have time for this." You know what he did? He rebuked that inner circle. Come on, say amen. He rebuked them when he said, "Suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for if such is the kingdom of God." Come on now. Oh, listen, the disciples were wrong in both cases. You must not allow anybody in this building tonight to hinder you from getting to Jesus. If you have a need, if you have a problem, if your soul is hungry for salvation, don't you let the naysayer sitting beside of you hinder you from getting to where Jesus is. I've come to this revival with my mind made up. Ain't a man in here big enough to stop me from getting my blessing, because I'm going to worship. I'm going to glorify. I'm going to praise God. Amen. And when you get tired of watching me shout, you can send me on down the road. I've been set free. Free. Praise God. I remember what it meant to be bound. Some of you do too. And I remember how it felt to show up among you tambourine whacking, psalm singing, Bible thumping holy roller folks. Huh? I remember how uncomfortable I was while y'all was worshiping, lifting your hands and smiling, having a big time. And inside of me there was turmoil. Huh? And I didn't understand how y'all could act the way you was acting when I was feeling such condemnation. I didn't understand how y'all could be so happy and I could be so sad right in the middle of all of that. But that night when I took my step and I walked the aisle and I knelt down in that altar. Woo! I knelt down a sinner, but I stood up a saint. Hallelujah. I knelt down lost, but I stood up found. Praise God. I knelt down a dead man, but I stood up more alive than I ever had been. Oh, if you know about that life, lift your hands and praise him. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going to hurry along. I'm not going to keep you. You must not allow anybody to hinder your faith from taking you to the Master. Don't matter what they say. Huh? Don't matter what the devils and the demons whisper into your mind. You don't have to do it tonight. That's what they told me for months after my wife got saved. Oh, this will pass. She's just going through a little phase. Huh? She's not really going to leave, especially not now. She's claiming to be a Christian. Just keep on living the way you want to live. You know what the devil's intent was to all that? He wanted to kill me before I got saved. He wanted me to overdose or die driving drunk. Come on now. He wanted me to get caught breaking in somebody's house and get shot and sent to the morgue. Come on now. He wanted to kill me and take me to hell before I come in contact with that Savior that my wife had come in contact with. Amen. Oh, God, don't you let anything stand in between you and him. I want to preach this to you. It looked as if Jesus himself was against her. Understand, I said it only looked as if he was against her. She pleaded with him. Even after she heard what the disciples said, she pleaded before she ever got an earshot of being able to hear what they said. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." The Bible said in verse 23, "But he answered her not a word." just kept on walking. Now, personally, I believe it's because she wasn't being real yet. She still had an obstacle to overcome. She was praying that Jewish prayer. She wasn't a Jew. She was a Gentile. She was making a pretense. She was pretending to be something she wasn't. I'll tell you, if you get anything from God tonight, or in any revival anywhere around this globe, any church service anywhere, if you get anything from God, the number one thing you're going to have to do is get real. He knows who you are anyway. He knows whose bed you laid in last night. He knows what chemicals you've been putting in your body. He knows all about, he knows how wicked your thoughts have been. Come on now. He knows the lust that's been driving you to do the things that you've done. And he loves you anyway. Don't try to pretend to be something that you're not. You know why he saved me that night? Thank God somebody said, tell him how low down and rotten you've been. That's a kick in the pants I needed to just get real with him. He knew all that anyway. But if he told me, if you'll confess your sins, that he will be faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Come on here. Jesus answered her not a word. Silence from the lips of the Lord of glory is a terrible feeling for anybody. For sinner and saint alike, when he is not speaking, it's terrible. And when he did speak, he spoke to his disciples. They're still chiming in. Send her away, for she crieth after us. And he spoke, and she probably heard him. He said, look at it. He said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. I know there's a lot of different interpretations. I don't want you to think I'm putting my spin on it. This is how I get it. Don't worry, boys. The Father knows why I'm here. I am come unto my own. I'm sent here for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. She didn't quit. She didn't stop. She kept crying out to him. She kept calling after him. Come on now. Amen. When he said these words, the Bible said, he said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In verse 25, the Bible said, she got real. Then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Woo! She wasn't trying to be a Jew anymore. She was real. She bared her heart before him. I'm not going to put on a pretense. I'm going to pull a mask off. I'm here because I need help. That's why I'm here. I need you to help me. Isn't that why you're here? Isn't that why you're here? Because you need help. Some of you that slipped in here among us tonight, you've been so uncomfortable around all this hooping and hollering, and they're feeling so good, and they're reminiscing about how good God's been to them, and they can remember things that I've said. They can remember being saved and how it was to first come to Christ. But you've sat here tonight, a little uncomfortable. You've made your way to the inner circle. There's a little discomfort in your heart. And some of you, I've watched you. You've smiled from time to time, but it was through your discomfort. You hadn't hollered amen. You hadn't hollered hallelujah. And you hadn't one time lifted up your hand and said, thank you, Jesus. Know why? You don't have the liberty to do that yet. Because there's still a binding in your life. There's still a power that's hindering you. But you've got the faith right now to break loose from that power. Come on here. I know you do, because the Bible said God give it to you. The Bible don't lie. God's give it to you. You've got the faith to break loose from that. Amen. Oh, God, help me right here. Amen. When he said what he said, she came and worshiped him. Lord, help me. He looked at her and said, it's not good. It's not meet not acceptable to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. You know what he did right there? He referred to her being a Gentile, her being a Canaanite. She wasn't a Jew. I want to make that clear. She wasn't under the covenant God had made with Abraham, the father of the Jewish nation. She was an outsider trying to get in. Jesus, in the way that only he could, called her a dog. I know that's hard to swallow. Let me read it to you. He said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Now this is after she had worshipped him and cried out and said, Lord, help me. It's not a good thing for me to do that, woman. This is the children's bread. It's not good. It wouldn't be a good thing for me to give to the dogs what belonged to the children. I wasn't preaching this exact message, but I was preaching along them lines one night, and I got over on this Canaanite woman and how Jesus called her a dog, and it made the man so mad in the congregation, his blood pressure went up, and he met me at the back door when all the service was over and the last amen was said. He said, I have a point of disagreement to discuss with you, Brother Teague. I said, say on, brother. He said, I disagree with you. It is not in the nature of Christ to refer to humanity as dogs. Well, I'm not real sharp. I'm not real fast on my feet. I didn't know what to say other than, sir, I read it to you right out of the Bible.
Go ahead, brother.
My wheels is turning on the way home. I get talking to Sister Tig. You know how it happens. You get to thinking about things, you know. My wheels get turning. I looked over, you know, and I chuckled a little bit. I said, man, that guy would have blown a gasket if I'd have preached. He called Peter the devil. Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou desirest not the things that be of God.
Amen.
Come on, say amen. Woo! Yeah. He'd have had a stroke, sure enough, right there. Oh, God. Sometimes when he speaks, it's not what we want to hear. But that's no reason to quit. That's no reason to give up. Keep pushing. Keep pressing. Keep crying out. Keep worshiping. Keep reaching for him. I'm about done. And she said, now he's just called her a dog. Truth, Lord. Why, if I was to come to some of your pews tonight, say, you mangy dog,
come on.
You'd try to whoop me when we got to the parking lot. You'd stomp out of here and wouldn't come back long as I was here preaching. Ain't that right? Why, if your pastor to call you a dog because the way you've been living, the way you've been acting, he could get in the Bible. He could be biblical. Some of you backsliders, as a dog returneth through his vomit, he could call some of you dogs and be writing a book. But boy, that upset us, wouldn't it? Our feathers would get hackled, you know, like old game rooster. We'd be fighting words. But look at what she done. Remember, he commended her in the end for her great faith. She said, truth, Lord. Every day North Carolina talks, she said, you're telling it right. You're telling it right. That's what I am. That's what I have been. But I don't want to be anymore. I've made my way to where you are. And I've overcome all of these obstacles. She said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from, listen, this is the key, which fall from their master's table. Woo! Yes, sir. I'm a dog, but I'm your dog. It's your table I'm up under. I belong to you, Hallie. I'm not asking to be a part of the children. I'm not asking to be in the family. I'm not asking for a seat at the table. Just give me the crumbs that fall from the children's fingers. Just give me the crumbs that fall from the table. Come on now. I've been threatening to for years. I ain't preached it yet. But one of these days I'm going to preach a crumb from the master's table is always enough. That's what shocked him. Woo! That's what got his attention. Huh? Her being born in the wrong place wasn't enough to make her quit. Her family wasn't enough to make her stop. Her lack of knowledge of him wasn't a big enough obstacle that she couldn't get over top of it and continue her journey to Jesus. She had a little girl at home. The devil's going to consume if she can't get her help. The disciples rebuking her and try to run her off. That wasn't enough to stop her. Praise God. I'll tell you something. Shame on you. If there's one holier than thou, hypocrite, pharisaical, whited sepulcher in this building tonight that stops you from getting what you need from Jesus. Shout right over top of them and get to Christ. Worship right on around them. Step on their feet. Get now the pew to get to the altar. Let them sit there and sull up and pout and poke their lip out and let them look like a mule been eating briars if that's what they want to look like. But you get it in gear and make up your mind to get your heart right with God. Hallelujah. Get to where Jesus is. I'm going to come to a close here. She humbled herself. Jesus said, "O woman, great is thy faith." I praying about this today, asking God to help us. And you know how revivals go. We always hope and we pray and we try to believe God that God would send somebody that's not a Christian yet. Somebody's hurting like I was. Somebody's bound like I was. Somebody needs to be lifted up out of the muck and the filth of sin and set free. And somebody that needs a perfect liberty to come into their life. You know, traveling around preaching revivals here in America, very seldom anymore does it seem like you feel like it's happening. I tell you what I'm feeling right here. You are here. You are. You're so tired of going round and around. Round and around. And I'll tell you something right before we have this altar invitation. I want to make this abundantly clear. Listen to me. We're not asking you to join our church. We're not asking you to immediately become what you think we are. I just want to ask you, wouldn't you like to come talk to Jesus, the lover of your soul, and get all of them things that's had you bound up under his precious blood and leave here free indeed? Wouldn't you like that? Wouldn't you appreciate him for coming down and setting you at liberty? I feel the Lord here. I do. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me, please. All over this place. Now, I'm going to do something real easy right here. And I'm not going to ask you to stand just yet. I hope I can have a praying church. Just a few moments right here. A praying church. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed all over this place. Are you here tonight and you'd say, "Brother Tig, I'm not where I need to be with God. Brother Teague, I came into this service and I know I need him. I'm not ready to stand before him in judgment, but I know he's real and I know I will stand in front of him someday in the judgment. Brother Teague, even though I'm not ready, I want to get ready before this life is over. I want to make peace with God sooner or later." Listen, I'm not going to ask you to do something real hard here. I'd just like to ask you this real simple thing as an act of faith on your part. I'm looking at you. Nobody else is. I'm looking. If you're here tonight and you fit into that category and you'd say, "Brother Teague, I want you to remember me when you get down to pray. Please try to remember my face, that I can find peace with God before it's too late. I'd like my life to be different." If that's you, I want you to just slip your hand up where you are. Put it right back down. God bless you. There's one. Is there another? I'm not going to embarrass you. God bless you. There's two. Is there another? I give you my word. I'm not going to come to where you are. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to make a spectacle of you. I give you my word as a preacher of the gospel. But I do want to remember your face when I get down to pray. Is there somebody else? Just slip up your hand real high. Put it right back down in the name of Jesus. Is there another? Is there another? God bless. Hallelujah. God bless you. There's another one. Is there anybody else? There's three in this building that's lifted their hand and said, pray for me. Is there another? Is there another? Hallelujah. I don't want to.